I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Today we have Bob Thibodeau. So he's going to be giving us some interesting information on how he runs his business and what he does. How's it going, Bob?
Hey, great. I'm so blessed to be here. This is exciting. I'm glad you invited me on the show.
Excellent. So can you give me a bit of a brief summary of who you are, what you're about, and what your message is?
Well, in the nutshell, 12 years I was in the Army, both the enlisted and officer, as a cavalry officer. And then when I got out, had my own business for about 7 years and got bored with it, really. I mean, we were doing well, but I just missed the camaraderie. I got tired of the day-to-day activities, you know, that it was always the same, the mundane. So I missed that camaraderie. So I applied for and became a police officer at 45 years of age. And everything was going great. I was being promoted and everything was, you know, I figured that was where I was going to be. But I did enter the ministry back in 1995, went to Bible school 98, 99. And when I became a cop and they found out my background, I became one of the chaplains for the department. And so that I was still working in ministry at that time. Then May 12th, 2007, I was injured in an accident, working on an accident scene out on the highway, and about 30 some medical procedures and surgeries later. Anyway, long story short, they're going to retire me. And that's why I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I'm getting too old to keep starting this stuff all over again. What do you want me to do? And it was just so clear. Begin a weekly 30-minute online radio program. No clue what that meant. Right. Today they call it podcast. Back then I had to have help check an email. Okay. I was not technically inclined at all, but my first podcast was talking on a flip cell phone on a free website. And it sounded like I was talking on a flip cell phone on a free website. But I started getting a following and it was kind of cool. And about 6 months into that, I got approached by Wilkins Communications. At the time they had like 12 AM radio stations around the country. And they said, we heard your podcast. That's first time I ever heard it called a podcast. And they said, we think you'd be a good fit for our Christian radio audience. Would you like to be on nationwide AM radio? I was like, oh yeah, this is marvelous. You know, this the Lord's doing. It's marvelous, my eyes. So anyway, I took that contract. We were on four major markets for a year. And that's where I really started learning a lot about the business. And about 6 months into that, I got a letter in the mail saying, congratulations on your retirement. Now I'm living on a half the income and I got a big radio budget. But we kept it up. And towards the end, I was just led to start our own online radio station. And again, no clue how to do it. So I tried finding some other station that was to do what the Lord basically put on our heart, which was to center it around live broadcasting and have that capability using recorded broadcasting as a backup. Nobody was doing what we wanted to do. So we basically built the platform and was now Evangelism Radio. We launched that October 4th, 2010. And we just started climbing the rankings. Started with one broadcaster, me. Started with one listener, me. And now we have listeners in 160 nations, all 50 states. We are ranked number one in the world on many occasions by shoutcast.com. And from that, we developed a podcast basically to interview the broadcasters, but it's expanded and so much more, so many different ways. Now we interview authors and recording artists and CEOs and business personalities and missionaries and pastors and all them every now and then too. But the podcast itself is now ranked in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world. So this is basically the full-time gig that the Lord has put on in my lap. And we get to meet great people like you. And we're coming up on November 30th, we are producing our 1,000th episode in less than 4 years. So about 800 interviews and 1,000 episodes in 4 years' time. I think that's a full-time gig. So that's what we do.
And what keeps you going?
Just the excitement of meeting people all the time. I mean, I'm doing interviews like this, except I'm on the other side of the microphone tonight. But I do interviews like this, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week with people and meeting different people, different personalities. They're all doing different things. And some are, like I said, are CEOs and executives, and some are just starting their businesses. Some have coaching programs, some have books, but it's all related to the Christian niche. And so it's exciting to see who else and what else is going on out there, and getting to share that with our followers on our platforms.
And what was one of your first interviews, and did that first interview ever have any sort of impact on you?
The first interviews I did were basically with friends of mine, because I learned from studying. Like I said, I had no clue what I was doing. And when I was our first podcast was mainly a preaching podcast. That's all I was doing, was preaching. But when we started doing these interviews, it's like, I don't want to cut my teeth on, you know, a major personality and just make it a big flop, because I would just ruin everything. So I started off by interviewing fellow pastors that I was familiar with, and they graced me with them coming on the broadcast. And sometimes I'll go back and listen to like the first dozen or so, like, why would anybody listen to this stuff, you know? But it took about a dozen interviews before I was able to get down my routine, and, you know, hooking everything up, making sure it was working and not interrupting the flow. And it took a little bit, but the first major personality, I think, was Dr. Michael Brown. And I interviewed him. He was right around 75th, 80th interview I did, something like that. But that gave me the confidence to go ahead and reach out further. You know, now, like I said, I get between half a dozen and a dozen interview requests every week from people that want to be interviewed. And some of them are major. I mean, I've interviewed senators and TV personalities and other ministers, you know, that are on television as well. And you know, famous authors. So, I mean, it's, you know, if they approach me wanting to be on our podcast, I'm like, sure, I'll make time. No problem. You know, but yeah, it's been a fun ride. That's for sure.
Did you always have skills as an interviewer? Were you that sort of social kind of extroverted guy that could easily just go in and take charge of a room?
Believe it or not, I was more of an introvert. And my military training, when remember I said I was both enlisted and officer. When I was an enlisted, you know, I went to the NCO Academy, of course. And then from there, I went a couple of years later, I was drafted for drill sergeant status. So I was taught how to take charge of the room, you know, and that really standing up in front of 300 people and giving classes and things like that, that was not natural for me. But after doing it for 3 years, it became natural. And so that obviously that helped. So it's just an extension of what I do now.
Who was one person that really influenced you and sort of changed who you were as a person?
You know, other than Jesus, you know, I mean, that'd be number one, because the old Bob Thibodeau, nothing like this Bob Thibodeau, put it like that, you know, but a physical person, golly, there's so many. I just can't narrow it down to one, because so many people have sowed into my life, you know, words of encouragement and things like that over the years. So I just can't really narrow it down. I mean, you know, I've talked with, had personal meetings with Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Andrew Womack, so many main ministers. And when they found out about our radio station, which is really the reason for the meeting, and, you know, all three said verbatim almost the same exact thing. They said, you will never know how many people you are reaching this side of heaven. It was just keep it up, you know, because it gets, sometimes it gets monotonous talking into the screen all the time. You know, you're just looking at that little camera lens and that's it. And sometimes you lose track that on the other side of that camera lens is individual people. I mean, we have 1/3 of our radio listenership comes from the 1040 window. We have listeners in Iran, believe it or not. Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, China, you know. So, I mean, we are reaching the world with the gospel through the power of the internet, as you're doing with your television program. So I've had several people over the years, you know, because remember, we've been doing this since 2010, that have, you know, spoken that type of encouragement into my life. And so that keeps me going, you know. And sometimes it gets monotonous and you're, you know, I need a break from this stuff. Well, take a couple days off. But I always come back to, they're waiting for me. Somebody needs to hear what's being said right now. And that keeps me going.
And I'm fascinated to know, is your radio station a digital radio station or an FM or AM?
Nope. It's a digital online radio station, evangelismradio.com. And we've, like I said, we've been doing this since 24/7. It's operated 24/7 since 2010. Started with one broadcaster. We got close to 50, like 46, 47 broadcasters right now. Several major ministries are on there that send us their files every week. But we were geared up and formed to help the smaller ministry that can't afford radio budgets. You know, a friend of mine, he has here, I'm in the Baltimore, Maryland area, and he has a 1 minute daily program during the drive time, like 7:30 in the morning, something like that. 1 minute on the local AM radio station. It's like a word of encouragement for the day, $800 a month. And we give him a 30 minute, his own 30 minute radio program 7 days a week for less than 100. He found all those, oh, sign me up. But, you know, he still does it because he's drawn the local, from the local radio station, he's drawn people into his church, but he's using us to get the word out.
And, you know, you definitely have a huge amount of my respect because I used to run a radio station in the past and it's very tough because, you know, how did you generate a lot of that revenue at the start just to pay for hosting?
Believe it or not, I started on an offering basis. It was just, you know, I would do it for free and just trust God. And we have never had 1 month where the budget hasn't been met. But there were times when I was making it up on my offerings, okay? But the budget, you know, it was started small, of course. You know, I can remember one of our first board of directors meetings. I was like, okay, so we need, you know, $500 for this year. Type thing, right? And you know, we brought in, you know, 600 or something like that for the whole year, but the budget was being met through offerings. But then as we started to grow, there was one point when I had almost 80 broadcasters and our budget, the offerings were being met by 7 people. And the time, like you're familiar with, the time I was taking on editing files, loading servers and running all that, I was behind this computer desk 14, 15-hour days, 7 days a week. And my wife was mad at me because every time she needed me, I had headphones on doing stuff on the computer. And there came a point in time when I just, without going into details, but one of the quote-unquote free broadcasters who hadn't sold anything, right, contacted me. I just finished loading the servers for the week. Getting ready, and I get this email. On that file I sent you earlier, the doorbell rang at the, you know, 19:32. Can you go in and edit that out? And that was the one that I'm done. You know, I just emailed my board of directors. I quit. Find somebody else to do it. I'm done. You know, I had had it. You know, and you know, they talked me back off the edge and said, okay, well, we've grown enough. We think it's time to start invoicing. And so we developed a payment. But like I said, it's very, very reasonable. But I knew I was hesitant in doing it because I'd always done it free and just trusted God. But like I said, the budget had been met. We just weren't able to grow. It was, you know, $50, $100 left over at the end of the month. And we went ahead and started invoicing. And we went from 75 broadcasters to 35 broadcasters in like 2 weeks. And I was like, bye. You know, it just made my workload a lot easier, but we've grown back up since then. But now new people coming on, they understand that, you know, you're going to have to pay for whatever you're doing here. And I still don't draw a nickel off this. I do not take any personal funds at all. It's all into the ministry. Help us grow. I mean, that's what started the podcast and the podcast hosting platform and, you know, all this stuff that we have operating right now, because together, you know, some comes from here, some comes from here, but together it makes us a viable entity now on the internet. And that's why we're growing.
And when it came to growing your radio station, I know with radio stations, you make little jingles, right? Mm-hmm. In the middle to kind of cut off. And you do those too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've made my commercials. And I have a couple of people I use for voiceovers, and I've used them consistently. But because we are around the world, I've got you know, the deep southern voice, you know, from down south. I've got, you know, the modern hip guy that talks about. I got a lady with a British accent. She's from Australia. She does a commercial. I got a variety of commercials that we use. And not every broadcaster, but there for a while, every broadcaster that would come on, one of the requirements was they had to give me a jingle. You know, it was just nothing more than like, hey, this is Andrew Womack. I'm here with Pastor Bob right now, and you're listening to Evangelism Radio. You know, that was it. But I would get that little drop when I was talking to him. Oh, by the way, before I let you go, can I get a drop for our radio station? And yeah, sure. You know, so they'd give it, and I'd come back, put it on the radio station, and there you go. So I could just drop that in, and it still is randomized, you know, for when it plays. But you'll hear these people, you know, from time to time, they'll pop up, and just a little radio drop like that, a little jingle. You betcha.
So what do you think is the difference between a more religious radio station versus a regular radio station?
I think the regular radio station, talking about like AM, FM, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or general stuff like, you know, regular news or music, things like that, versus maybe a Christian radio station.
Okay.
Financially, in a sense.
Okay, our radio station, our focus, our mission statement, this is our ministry mission statement: get the word out. That's it. Every decision we make, you know, well, we need to buy a new microphone. Okay, how is this going to help me accomplish our mission? You know, better sound quality. You know, the other one has been old and now it's starting to rattle or whatever. You know, so okay, we need it. Do I need a new monitor? Not really, not right now. You know, we don't really need it right now. The computer's starting to slow down, and sometimes I got to restart it every day and reboot it. And we need a new computer. All right, let's get it. You know, because we don't want to be in the middle of an interview, you know, and have something go off. Well, sorry, and that happened one time. Believe it or not, I was interviewing Dr. I think his name's Lutz. He is Moody Bible Institute. He had just retired of running Moody Bible Institute, and we're about 2/3 of the way through the interview and the screen froze and I had to actually reboot the computer, and you know, he went bye-bye. He was, you know, so I couldn't play it because it cut off, but it just made me look very unprofessional, I guess you could say. You know? So we lost that interview, but then we went out and bought a new computer because I did not ever want to have that happen again. Where the traditional radio stations and a lot of the even online, I think they're more interested in entertainment. News stations, you know, obviously got to be current on the news. We have a top of the hour and half hour, bottom of the half hour news broadcast. Subscribe to a place that, well, we just grab it and it's inserted right into the stream. So we do have news on our, because I thought that made us look more professional, by, you know, top of the hour news, you know, type thing. And, so we'd have that, but I think the biggest thing is I don't have to worry. I really don't worry about what other people think about the radio station, because every broadcaster is a Christian. It's a Christian radio station. I do not allow any other faiths on there or anything else, where if you're secular and you've got to kind of walk that tightrope a little bit, you know, I don't have to do that. And same thing with our podcast hosting platform, faithcasters.net. The reason we started that is because there were no Christian only podcast hosting platforms. Well, we started the first online Christian radio station that could go live and do all that stuff. We started that first one, and our board of directors was like, you know, what else? What's the hot new thing? What can we do new? And we came up with podcasting. And so we have faithcasters.net, a Christian only podcast hosting platform, because everybody else lumps you into religion and spirituality. You know, that's the category you get lumped in, but they have other options now.
And I notice you keep on saying the word professional, professional. What is your value or your interest towards professionalism?
I was taught in the military that if you performed as excellent as you could get, be as professional as you can, and every single instance, 99% of the time, when you do make a mistake, nobody's going to think twice about, okay, let's fix it and go on. But if you have the attitude of, that's good enough. There's nothing good enough for God. You know, I mean, you can't be that good, right? So if we strive. I consider our ministry a ministry of excellence. My board of directors hears me say that all the time. We are a ministry of excellence. We want to do everything as excellent as it can be. I don't ever want to have to say, well, that's good enough. You know, no, if it's not excellent or as close as I can get it to excellent, then we don't need to do it. You know, and there have been some podcasts that I've started and, you know, 10, 12 episodes in saying, you know what, the focus isn't right. And I just stopped it. You know, I mean, I go look at my list of podcasts, there's like 7 or 8 of them on there. You know, the Kingdom Crossroads podcast is our interview podcast. This is my calling. This is what I do. Sitting behind the radio station and setting up the schedule and loading servers, you know, my board of directors, how can you do that day in and day out? I said, this is the grace I've been given. This is my calling. It's just as natural for me to do that as it is for, you know, a carpenter to look at a wall and visualize what it's going to look like when it gets done. You know, I like, got a piece of plywood. I'll nail it up here. That's crooked. Yeah, good enough, you know, because I'm not excellent in that area. Concerning the radio and preaching the gospel over the airwaves, well, radio waves or internet waves, whatever you want to call them, you know, that I want to make sure we are as excellent as possible.
And how do you think other people can accomplish that mindset of, you know, this kind of pursuit of excellence?
It's a mindset. Exactly what it is. I mean, you make a decision, and you know, when I was in the military, I studied extensively General George Patton. I mean, he was like my idol officer. You know, a lot of people didn't like him because he's rather brash and, you know, but he demanded excellence. He made his guys wear ties when they were out in the field. You know, if a VIP was coming, they had to dress up, you know, and, you know, everybody else, you know, they're in their fatigues. Yeah, whatever. But he'd make them demand that they perform to the expected standard, and they hated him for that, but at the same time they respected him for it because he demanded excellence of them and they expected it of him as well. But when he had a saying, he said, a good plan implemented now is a lot better than a perfect plan tried later. So that's how I more or less went at this avenue called podcasting and online radio. The very first thing we had was a podcast. I call it my online radio program. Once I got, remember I said I had to have help check an email. You know, I mean, I could not figure this stuff out on my own. But once I learned what to do, then we got used to that. It became a routine. I had my weekly radio program. Then, okay, online radio station. Ooh, okay. Well, I knew what to do personally. And I had the list of things that I believe the Lord wanted us to set up on the radio station. And when we first started, it was, you know, rough. This wasn't so it took my IT guy and I almost 5 months to get the system down where we were now ready to invite other broadcasters on. And, you know, again, you know, started with one broadcaster. That was me for about 2 months. Till we got it down where it worked consistently all the time. Then invited one or two more. And I think at the end of the first year, I had 8 broadcasters, but we got the systems in place. They were having an issue. They had, you know, they were trying to go live on a PC, not a Mac. I'm a Mac guy, right? So I had to figure out how to do it on a PC and step by step walk them through it. But once we got that process down, then the next guy came in. Oh, I'll show you. Okay, let's do this. There, good. All right, you're live. Hey, that's you. You know, and so instead of taking 2 days to do it, it took me 2 hours to do it and then 1 hour to do it. But we developed those systems and just replicated them on everything we do. And that allows us to fine tune the process. And then when we got ready to start, like I said, the hosting platform and all that, same mindset, same systems, just a different platform. And that's, you know, I tell everybody, if the Lord would have showed me 10 years ago, back in 2009 and 2010, what I'm doing today, you got the wrong guy. There is no way I'm going to do all that. Impossible. But he took me, okay, just start with your own little personal 30-minute radio program. Okay, I can do that. And had to learn how to do it, and then it progressed. So yeah, that's.
So I'm definitely going to start asking you some more questions about, you know, your religious life. But one big question, why are you a Mac guy?
My son-in-law, who is my IT guy, worked for Apple at the time. And, you know, he was into repairing their stuff and all this. And he, you know, I mean, remember how our ministry started. You know, it was just me. You know, that was it. And I didn't have a computer because I wasn't a computer guy. You know, I didn't have email. I had my email at work and I had to have help checking that. But, you know, he brought home a computer that someone had, you know, traded in or something. And his boss was like, it's old, get rid of it. So he brought it home, set it up for me, you know, and that started the Mac processes. And that's just, you know, that's where we've evolved more or less along those routes. And it's a lot easier for me to keep using what I'm used to than try and relearn something else. Especially at this stage where everything, you know, when I sit down at the computer and I know I've got 4 hours to load the servers and I need the repetitive task. Click here, load here, done, boom, done. I don't need to go in and say, okay, now on this computer, what do I got to do? You know, no. I'll be there all day. So it's right now it's more or less here I am.
How do you reach out to God?
Through prayer, Bible study and prayer. His word is him speaking. You know, and that's, you know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God said, and that creates the whole thing. And his word is him speaking. There's every answer to every problem is in that Bible. And it may not say, you know, if your iPhone's broke, reset this, but the inspiration is there behind it. So I make a point every single, it's because of my military time. I've always been an early riser. I mean, military, I was getting up at 4:15 to be at work at 5 o'clock, but I get up 5:15 in the morning right now, have 40 some years. And that first hour and a half is my alone time with God. I consider it my appointment. I have an appointment with the creator of the universe. And just, you know, now I have a 15 minute prayer session that I do live. So I knock that out first. I get it ready. When we finish here, I'll get ready for tomorrow morning. And I knock that on. And then the next hour and 20 minutes is my alone time with God. And that's how I start my day. And if we're going on a trip and we got to leave for the airport at 4:30 in the morning, so we're going to get up at, you know, my wife said, wake me up at 4. I'm up at 3 because I have that time with God. That's a priority. You know, say, how can you go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, get up at 2:30, 2:45 in the morning just for prayer time before you go to the airport? Because I'd rather do that than skip it, have something go wrong on that plane. You know? So, but that's just the priority I make. I put God first. He's the first person I talk to in the day when my day starts.
And why do you put God as a priority?
He's God. You know, I mean, he runs the whole show. You know, when he decides to pull the plug on this, wherever we're at, and that's it, you know, and, you know, I see all this stuff going on television, all the problems and all that, and it doesn't bother me at all. And I was like, how can you not be bothered by what you said to him? Because the Bible clearly says this is what it's going to be like just before Jesus returns. So as far as I'm concerned, hey, we're almost there. You know, the Bible says, when you see all these things happening, look up because your redemption's drawing near. I mean, when I see all this, these problems in TV and all these countries and the devastation taking place all over the world, I can't but help think, yeah, it's getting close. You know, we need to preach more. We need to get further, more countries involved with this, with our radio. Say we need to reach more people. And that just keeps me going.
You mentioned God quite a bit, but what was the experience you had that sort of made you really believe in it and really... It kind of gave you sort of an epiphany, like, oh, man, God is real.
I was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were elders in the church and stuff like that. And as soon as I could, I stopped going to church. You know, I went through I was raised Lutheran. We went through the confirmation class and all that. And when I joined the Army, I was in basic training 9 days after graduating high school. Because that's all I wanted to do is make the military a career. And, you know, I lived the military life, I guess you could say. The standard, when you think of the standard soldier, you know, getting drunk, partying, that was me, right? I used to say back then, if you would have looked in the dictionary, if you looked up the word heathen, it had my picture next to it. And when I got married, I just continued on. You know, that was what I was doing. And my wife got born again in 1983, 84, something like that. And she prayed for me every day. And I go to church once a month anyway, sometimes twice a month, just to appease her. And some people would come up and try and witness to, oh, no, I'm already born again. You know, I did that when I was back 16 years old, you know, Lutheran church. But there was nothing there to provide evidence that that was the fact. And when I got out of the Army, we ran into some pretty serious financial situations. And it got so bad that I was actually contemplating suicide. And I'd gone to another town to try and make a living there. And what was I selling insurance, trying to, you know, just get some money from. And this was back when the first Gulf War started, because I was selling insurance. We were barely making ends meet. Well, when everybody packed up and moved, you know, 9,000 miles away, nobody to sell insurance to. And that's where the financial problems came in. So I just said, well, we were in Louisiana at the time. So I said, I'm going to go to Georgia because Fort Benning's there. It's a training base. So there'd be GIs there, and I'll try to sell insurance there. So I moved over there January 1st, 1992. And I had to make it. I had to do it. This was the end of the rope. And 3 weeks, I was living in an empty apartment, no furniture at all. I had one of them card table chairs and a little TV table, you know, and my phone and a computer to do printouts. That was it. And I sold zero, nothing. And my wife called me up on January 25th and said, you know, that there, when she came home from her friend's house, there was a notice on the door, you know, the foreclosure had started. There was another notice taped to the door saying they're going to turn the lights off in 3 days. We didn't make the payment. And she was out of food for the kids. You know, she goes, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. So she had made me take my grandfather's Bible to Georgia with me. And I had been reading it on off. There was a way to read the Bible through in a year in the front of the Bible. And I remember sitting on the floor. I didn't even have a bed. I just slept on a blanket on the floor. And I was crying my eyes out. And then it dawned on me, you've kept up your insurance policy. You can go ahead and kill yourself. They'll get the proceeds because it's outside the incontestability period. They'll get the proceeds. You can catch up bills, pay off the house, and then she'll be set after that. So I made that decision. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. But it was already 11:30 at night. And I said, I'll do it tomorrow morning because I want to tell my kids how much I love them, because they were already in bed getting ready for school the next day. And I laid down to go to sleep. And the Venetian blinds outside had a street light, and that light was shining right through the blinds and it was landing right on the Bible. I laid down on the floor and said, oh, I forgot to read my nightly scripture. I said, this might be a good thing to do since I'm going to meet God tomorrow. I'll tell him, hey, at least I read your Bible. You know? So I opened up, and for that day, January 25th, I was supposed to read Psalms 37. And it said, I started reading it and it said, I'm sorry, Psalms 34. And I got down to like verse 7. I said, because I cried out, I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. So if you're going to fix this, you need to take care of it, because I'm done and it's over. And I said, I'll even be a preacher for you. I remember saying that. I said, I'll even be a preacher. I don't care, but I'm done. Tomorrow morning, it's over. And got over there and started reading down. I said, the Lord has heard this poor man cry and shall deliver him from all his troubles. That was the scripture I was supposed to read that night. And instantly, I call it, God invaded the room. I mean, there was a presence in there, and I just started laughing and crying and all at the same time and speaking in tongues. I mean, I got the whole shebang right there. And it lasted probably 10 or 15 minutes. And it felt like every weight in the world was lifted. And I was laughing. I got to tell my wife, you know. So I called her up and told her, and that she's crying, and you know, she's happy. And I didn't tell her what brought it on, right? But I said, I'm coming home, because it was a month-to-month lease. So I'm coming home. I'm going to tell them I'm out of here on the 31st. So I had 1 week, right? And I'm coming, I could be just as broke at home with you and the kids as I can here. And that 1 week, I sold enough insurance to catch up to pay the bills in Georgia and start catching up the bills and keep the foreclosure and all that stuff from happening back home. But that showed me right there, God is real. Because I experienced it that night, and my life has never been the same since. And remember, I was an alcoholic, although I didn't, you know, I was never late for work, all that. But I mean, I could drink a sailor under the table, and that continued because that was January 25th, 1992. In July, we moved to Texas, and I was selling insurance and stuff there, and that was the business that was pretty successful. We grew that agency to be number two in the country for the company I was working with, but I just got bored of the mundane same day stuff. But when it was Thanksgiving, just about this time of year in 1992, and I told my wife, I feel like having a drink tonight. I'm just going to go down and get a bottle of liquor. You know, my, you know, quench a thirst type drink was Jim Beam. Not my, you know, the real, if I was really going to party, it was 151 rum. But just to have a quick drink, I'd go Jim Beam. So I'm just going down and get some Jim Beam. She's okay. It just didn't look. I just bought a little pint bottle. You know, that's all. Okay. That'll be good for two drinks. Came home, fixed one drink. I said, I don't really want another. I'm just going to go to bed. In May of 1993, the sink was had a leak under it. So I went to clean everything out to tighten up that pipe. And here's that half pint or a pint bottle of Jim Beam. And it dawned on me, I haven't had a drink in 6 months. Didn't even know I quit drinking. It just was taken away. The desire was just taken away from me. And I looked at that bottle and it started talking to me. And I just haven't had any in 6 months. Don't need any now. Dumped it down the drain. Haven't had a drink now in 27, 28 years, whatever it is. But that showed me who was inside of me, because it took 6 months to not wean me off, but just slow the roll a little bit. But that I'll never forget, because I remember when I seen that bottle, I remembered buying it. And then it dawned on me, I have not had one drop of alcohol in 6 months' time and didn't even realize I'd stopped drinking. That's why, I mean, God is, he's real to me.
Excellent story. And I think the next thing we'd like to do is, can we share your website right now?
Yeah, that'd sure. Be great. Yeah. Which one? Tell you what, I'll take us to Podcasters for Christ.
All right, great.
There you go. So this is our main landing platform. Okay. If you scroll down a little bit, those are the four areas that we help people with. We have the interviews. We have the training program. If you scroll down, you see the hosting, and then, of course, Christian radio. Those are the four areas that we have.
Okay, you serve the Christian market only. Yeah, we did.
Yep, exactly.
And you can so you could just schedule a call, yep. Right? Okay, so then you have evangelism radio.
Yep, those take you to the website. Yep.
This is quite interesting. So this is where you come to listen to the latest.
If you click that right now, whatever's on the stream will play. I don't know if they'll hear it or not. But.
Yeah, it's okay. And it's Spotify as well. And please. Then you have a broadcasting schedule.
Yeah, that's where they can see what's going to be played and what time slots are available. I just had someone contact me today. We walked them through that and picked the time slot for them. So.
And then you also teach people how to broadcast.
Absolutely. I want quality. I want quality programs. We want to make them as excellent as we can.
And is there any other key things, you know, for a lot of the audience listening here that you'd like to show?
Oh, go to Faithcasters. I said, this is our podcast hosting and marketing platform designed by Christians for Christians. It's Christian only. And I said, we can help you with the hosting. We can help you with marketing it. If you scroll down a little bit, you see, keep going. Right there, we promote people on the front page. If you refresh that page, every time you refresh it, it'll rotate through on different pictures and things like that. So we put all our people right out there on the front page. And believe it or not, this platform was launched February 28th, 2020. We had six people sign up in 1 week. Our market, our target market, was the pastors of churches to get them to record, to use us as hosting. We market it for them and all that. What happened March 6th, 2020? Everything shut down. So we had to back off our marketing plan. My team and I are re-implementing it. We've been kick it off again in January. So, but it was supposed to have launched 2 years ago.
All right, excellent. Then you also have editing services.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll take care of all of it for them if that's what they want. If they want us to help them launch it, they want us to post it for them, edit, you know, show notes, we can handle all that.
All right, this was an excellent showcase. Oh, and one last thing. You got to look at the kingdom across. What's this?
That's my schedule. That's for the scheduler. Is that where that link took you? I'm going to have to fix that. That's where they can book an interview for the podcast. If you back out of that, I'm surprised that's where I go down below and click on the link. I'm going to the major areas in the middle, right there. Where does it say Kingdom Crossroads Podcast? Right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So listen to the podcast. So, yeah, that's where you book the appointment. Yeah, that one. It should take you over to the website. That's where you listen. Okay. Go to up in the URL, go kcrpodcast.com. There you go. That's our banner for the 1,000th episode, going to be happening on November 30th. We're having a big, big online party that day. I'm giving away a free microphone and everything. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see the. I don't know why that's crooked. Mine came out all right. I don't know.
No, that's because mine's zoomed in.
Yeah, that's not right. I don't know why I did that. Yep.
Okay. So this is kind of the key like website that you can look at while podcasts.
Yep.
Casing the podcast stuff. Okay.
Nice. Absolutely. Yep.
This is a big website. Right.
But the main landing page, I guess, is podcastsforchrist.com because that has everything we do on there.
Right. I think this one here. And then, yeah, Casing Our Podcast. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. What are some, can you sort of give me a little bit of information? If you could go back in time and speak to yourself, what would you tell yourself? What type of advice would you give to yourself?
Concerning what?
Any type of advice. Would you tell yourself anything?
Well, I had an opportunity back about 1979, 80, somewhere in that. I don't even remember now. I was looking at getting into investments and I went down and a guy that I had respected, he hooked me up with his investment advisor. I went in, talked to him. I had like 10 grand or something like that. And he says, there's this new company that's just going public and their goal is to put a personal computer in every home in America. And, you know, this thing is going to be a hit. I could tell. And I was like, a friend of mine had a personal computer and he had to load, you know, like if he wanted to play chess, he had to load this cassette tape. It took like 2 hours for it to load. And then, you know, you tell it and it'd take 20 minutes for the computer to bring back a move. It's like, I'm not interested in that. You know, some no name company I'd never heard of, you know, called Microsoft, you know, and I could have bought it like $7 a share. So yeah, number one, buy Microsoft at $7 a share. You know, when my son-in-law started with Apple, Apple was $60 a share. It had gone up from like 25 or 30 to 60. I'll wait for it to come back down. It's what, like $1,000 a share now. Yeah. So you know, follow your gut. But investment wise, I would have invested in the stock market a lot sooner, just buy and hold and let it go. You know, I had another opportunity, 10 years ago, maybe somewhere in that area. I could have bought Bitcoin at $30 a share. It's 60,000 now, or not a share, but coin, $30 a coin. It's $60,000 a coin now, you know? I mean, you know, so invest and hold, you know, and the old adage, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the next best time to plant it? Today, you know? And I mean, you can't look back. You just got to start where you're at. That would be one piece of advice. Number two, listen to your wife. She's your better half for a reason. You know, some things that I've gone out and done, you know, it, like the old adage of, you know, I seen a t-shirt, somebody had a nurse and it has a definition. It said, the person you wake up and see when the last thing you say is, here, hold my beer. You know, well, that's kind of what my wife is to me. You know, she says, I told you type thing, you know. So, you know, listen to your wife. But, you know, get into church. If I would have, I could have eliminated a lot of the problems if I'd have just listened to her and gone to church, had that word planted in me, you know, and we could have eliminated a lot of the problems that we had for about 10 years. And, you know, that would have made a big difference.
I'm interested to know, what plans do you have for the future of your business and your life? And, you know,
we are growing. I'm going to be 65 here shortly and 2 more years. And I told our board of directors, by the time I hit 65, I wanted to have a team that can run the business instead of me having to be here every single day, making every decision. And we are implementing that now. I have a team behind me now. They're not involved as much as I want them to be because we have to pay them, obviously, right? So they're right now basically freelancing it, you know, hey, I need this done. Can you do it? How much? And then we let them do it. But we've struck up a great relationship, and if they come to the KCR podcast 1000th episode, you're going to hear like Desiree, she'll be handling, you know, the chat and get me where I'm going to be totally focused on interviews because we got special guests coming in and all that. So I'll be focused on that. She's going to be handling the green room aspect, you know, and getting everybody ready to come on and things like that. So they'll get to meet her and talk to her. But, you know, she's got Damashi working with the website area. Brooke is handling the social media promotions and things like that. So we have the team in place, but our budget is not to the point yet that we are able to, you know, hire them. In 1 year after the board of directors approved us to, you know, I told them I can't do this anymore by myself. We're too big. There's too many irons in the fire. And that means I have to resort to that's good enough type thing. And I don't want to do that. So they authorized us to, you know, start off hiring one person. And now we've grown it where we got a team now. But I told them that by the time I'm 65, I want to be able to just stand back and manage. And, you know, let's say, you know, we'll have our little meetings and say, this is what we want to do. Let's start promoting it. Let's get everything in place. And they're doing the legwork, getting it ready so that all I got to do is make sure that it's being done. And, you know, brief me on this, what we're doing. Okay, are we ready to do this 1000th episode? Okay, let's have a practice session. Okay, work great, but we need to do this. Okay, now we're ready. And the day of, here we go. You know, so, and when I do speaking, because I do speaking at podcast conferences, some leadership conferences, and if I'm speaking at a church, if I'm invited to go speak at a church, my son-in-law always goes with me because he's recording this, you know, that we can use later and stuff like that. And I always refer to him as the radio. He is the brains behind the radio. So I'm the face or the personality, the voice that you hear, you know, but if it was not for him, none of this would be operating. Zero. You know, he's the brains behind it. And that's how I want the team that I'm developing to be. They're running the ministry. I'm just happen to be the face of it. You know, the voice on the radio and all that. But there's going to come a time when I've built this up and now I can turn it over to someone else. And that's what I'm going for. You know, I'm not looking at selling it or anything like that. I've helped some people build their podcast up in 2-3 years. They sold it for 5 figures. You know, so I mean, it is out there. That's not what I'm looking to do with this podcast. This podcast belongs to the ministry. So when I'm gone, whoever is going to be taking it over, they can continue it or whatever the Lord leads them to do. That's kind of my end game, is to build this ministry up and then pass it on as a legacy to whoever that the Lord should lead us in cross paths at that time.
Are there any, this has been a great interview. Are there any final words you would like to kind of give to the audience?
Just a selfless promotion, I guess you could say. You know, if you have a Christian podcast or you're thinking of starting a Christian podcast, go check out podcastsforchrist.com. We got free resources right there on the page that you can download and help you out. And if you have any questions, please reach out through the contact form, or you can email me directly at brotherbob@ftfm.org. That's franktomfrankmary.org, because our ministry, the overall ministry is Freedom Through Faith Ministries. That's what all these branch off of. That's our 501c3, Freedom Through Faith Ministries. So brotherbob@ftfm.org. And, you know, ask a question. I'm available to answer questions and things like that. But if you have or are thinking of starting a Christian podcast, we can help you. We can take you from concept through launch into monetization, and we'll even host it for you and market it for you. We can do the whole thing. That's what we've developed. And, you know, once you have your own, a podcast is basically your own personal radio program. So once you have your podcast up running, and, you know, if you want, we can shift you on over to the radio station, have your own program and reaching 160 plus nations with the gospel. So we can do the whole gamut from start to finish.
All right. Thanks again, Bob. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.